Hey everybody, welcome in to episode number 17 of the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, bringing you all the Orioles analysis, notes, stats, stories, anything we can bring you here leading up to 2020 opening day on March 26th against the New York Yankees. Not a whole lot of Orioles news coming out of spring training this week down in Sarasota. Of course, the last signing they made was Tommy Malone, the left-handed pitcher, back on Friday. Looks like everybody has reported to camp for the Orioles, and now it just continues as usual, and we'll see if the Orioles make any other moves, if anything happens at spring training. Of course, we'll have the updates for you right here. But today we continue our minor league look back series, as we'll get you part two of our conversation with one of the voices of the Frederick Keys, Jack Keffer. Of course, if you missed part one, that was yesterday's episode, as Jack went in-depth on some of the hitters who shined for Frederick last year, despite a tough season for the Keys, where they finished last in the Carolina League. We looked at some guys who shined, including Mason McCoy and Caden Grenier, among others. And then we talked about which guys were really buying into kind of the new regime and the new technology that is available to these minor leaguers. And finally, yesterday, we did a deep dive into D.L. Hall, the Orioles' number three overall prospect, number two pitching prospect, who was with the Keys all of 2019, should be in Bowie in 2020, the Orioles' first-round pick from a couple years back. And we talked about what makes the lefty so good and so dominant, and what the Orioles can expect from D.L. Hall in the future. So that was yesterday's part one, but here today on part two, we will get into some of the rest of the pitchers. Of course, D.L. Hall was the big one, but guys like Blaine Knight and Brennan Hanafy, who are also Orioles' top 30 prospects, the two of them were also in the Frederick rotation last year. We'll talk about how they did. Plus, Jack has a lot of under-the-radar pitchers who pitched pretty well for the Keys last season that he will get into. So without further ado, here is part two of our conversation with one of the voices of the Frederick Keys, Jack Keffer.
And obviously the excitement is around D.L. Hall, and despite him being, you know, ranked behind Grayson Rodriguez, he is a level ahead of him, and I think Orioles fans hoping, you know, maybe they could see him in the big leagues in 2021, but we'll see when he gets there. Obviously, you know, they won't rush him to the big leagues and get him ready for maybe when the Orioles can compete. And as you said, you know, it could be a two or a three or potentially even higher in the rotation.
Yeah, and him and Grayson too. I mean, you have a lefty and a righty, that, and they're both throwing with that kind of velocity. It's unbelievable. I'd say DL, like you said, more of a power pitcher. Grayson seems to be more of a finesse pitcher, but it, you know, they were on show in the Futures game, which was so cool to watch those guys kind of pair up together.
Yeah, and hopefully it happens at the big league level. But D.L. Hall, despite being the guy, you know, when people went to Frederick and interested in minor league baseball, they're looking for D.L. Hall last year. But he wasn't the only top 30 guy who was pitching for the Keys last year. And there was one guy who kind of struggled in Blaine Knight, the third rounder back in 2018. He's 16th ranked prospect in the MLB.com top 30 for the Orioles right now, a 6.13 ERA in about 84 innings last year, 56 strikeouts and 39 walks. So just watching Blaine Knight last year, I know he was in Delmarva for a bit and then was in Frederick for the majority of the year. You know, what, why the inflated ERA and why the strikeouts kind of down, it seems, for what kind of pitcher he came into the organization as out of Arkansas?
Yeah, I mean, he really struggled for the first time ever, and that was really tough for him. The guy is competitive as could be, and I think for Knight, it was more about what's going on in between the ears than anything else. The guy has great stuff. He didn't challenge hitters enough, and I think if you talk to him, he needs to challenge hitters a little bit more. He needed to come inside, pitch inside the guys, let his stuff play. And what happened last year was when he decided to do that, he just wasn't executing his pitches in full bloom. So for Knight, it's about refining this stuff a little bit, as it is for any younger pitcher. But he's just got to get a little bit more consistent. And he's a guy who works really hard. He was poring over tape during his really struggling stretch, which, you know, he basically struggled as soon as he came up to Frederick. And he was poring over tape trying to find any tweaks in the mechanics. There were a couple here and there where he wasn't consistent with his hips. Sometimes he was dragging the arm a little bit. And he made those mechanical fixes. More than anything, though, it's just about challenging hitters and executing pitches. I think for him, the step up to Frederick was, hey, we need you to use your entire arsenal of pitches. And I don't think that he had command of all of those pitches just yet. He'll be back in Frederick, and I fully expect to see the 2018 Blaine Knight that the Orioles drafted.
We'll get back to our conversation with Jack Keffer in a second, but wanted to talk to you about today's Fantasy Minute brought to you by League Commish. And today we're going to talk about Alex Cobb, the Orioles' 32-year-old right-handed starter who they signed a couple years back in free agency. Of course, Cobb with Baltimore in 2018 made 28 starts at a 4.90 ERA, and then last year's season, just destroyed by injury, made only 3 starts before hip surgery in June kept him out for the rest of the year. However, Cobb should be back and healthy, and looks like he'll be a part of the Orioles starting rotation to begin the season. Now, he probably won't go opening day, but it looks like he'll be most likely the number 2 starter behind John Means for Baltimore. And if you go back to that last full season with the Orioles in 2018, a 4.90 ERA, the strikeouts per 9 were at 6. But if you look back on those years with Tampa Bay, back in 2017 with the Rays, a 3.66 ERA in 29 starts, the strikeouts were up, the walks were down that season as well. And he's been a really good pitcher at times in his career, and he's only 32. So for fantasy value, if you want a guy who you think is going to stay healthy, and if Cobb can stay healthy, he's going to be in the Orioles rotation all season. He's not going to be the ace of your fantasy staff, but if you can get Alex Cobb, maybe in the late rounds or pick him up at some point early in the season, he could be valuable to your fantasy team in 2020. And that's your Fantasy Minute brought to you by League Commish for Wednesday, February 19th. What are you doing for the game? A universal question. Whether the casual follower, the tweets everything, the beginner, the diehard, the stat nerd, the smack talker, the appetizer guy, the couldn't care less, or the makes everything into a competition person, we all have our place in the sports world. The same personalities apply to fantasy sports, and League Commish exists to ensure your fantasy sports experience is the best one for you. We match managers to leagues as we lay the foundation for your new league. It's as easy as sign up with your preferences, get matched, and approve of that match before any commitment on your end. Sign up with League Commish by February 29th and receive 15% off by entering the code LOCKEDON in the referred by section of the sign-up form. The first 25 people to sign up using our code receive their first match free. What are you doing for the game? Find your next fantasy sports league at leaguecommish.com. And obviously that's another guy they hope can come up and eventually be a back end of the rotation guy, a third round pick. But one more guy who was in the top 30, and I think, you know, doesn't get kind of the publicity because he's not the big, huge strikeout pitcher, but, you know, he's still a top 30 guy and has some potential, is Brennan Hanafy, a fourth round pick in 2016, had a solid year last year. You know, why do you think he flies under the radar among some of the pitchers in the organization?
So Hanafy is, I think last year was probably our favorite pitcher, other than watching Hall pitch every fifth day, because that was something special. He has like the mind of a 45-year-old guy out there. Like it's almost like he's already pitched 2 full big league seasons, and he's just kind of back for more. The mentality is something special that you don't see in a 21-year-old. He's a young guy, and the reason that you don't see the strikeout numbers is because he's a sinker ball pitcher. He loves to throw his two-seamer, and it moves out of this world. There were so many stories of guys who ended up on base that were talking to middle infielders saying, this guy, that pitch is unhittable. Like, when he locates it, he's incredible. And it kind of all culminated last year in August when he threw a 9-inning shutout against the Salem Red Sox. He didn't strike out that many batters, just got ground balls, got a couple fly balls here and there, but nobody made a hard, solid contact against him. And he's okay with that, too. He can get you out with a bevy of different pitches. He started throwing the slider a little bit more. The changeup looked good. He mixed in a four-seam fastball here and there. He was brutal in the first half, and it was because he was doing something that he'd never been asked to do, which was throw all four pitches in whatever count. And there were guys on the team who, yeah, they had that mantra, but sometimes they'd have to revert back to, you know, the fastball in tough situations. Hanafi didn't shake off a sign, and he would just throw whatever pitch was asked of him. And if it hit, it hit. If it didn't, it didn't. And that is really tough because, you know, guys think about success in the immediate sense of, all right, I did really well this start. This means I'm going to get promoted soon and yada, yada, yada. Hanafi, he's thinking, I'd rather have to fail now than get hit around in AA or AAA when I get the chance. His mindset was, okay, throw a bunch of different pitches, even though I know they're not always going to hit. And then get used to that fact that I'm going to be asked to throw all these different pitches at the next level, and at least I'll be able to execute them when I get there and succeed even more. So that mentality combined with this two-seamer sinking fastball that is virtually untouchable, it's going to serve Hanafi well in the future. The slider looks great down the stretch. Changeup got a lot better. That's a pitch that he really needs to work on still. But he's going to kind of live and die by that sinker.
And you talk about that, you know, it almost makes me think of, you know, they're obviously not the same guy. Hanafi throws the ball a little harder, but I think about Kyle Hendricks with the Cubs where, you know, he just gets to the big leagues and you almost look at him like he's like a 35-year-old veteran the moment he got to the big leagues, sinking the ball, cutting the ball, throwing sliders, just getting guys out that way instead of overpowering them. And guess what? I mean, he was close to winning a Cy Young one year doing that.
Yeah. And it's really interesting that you said Hendricks' name, because in the middle of the season last year, I approached Hanafi to talk about some of his pitching and what he was trying to do. And I actually brought up an article that was in The Athletic that talked about how Kyle Hendricks was throwing his two-seamer up in the zone this past year. And Hanafi said, yeah, I actually read that article too. And I threw a couple two-seamers up in the zone to right-handed hitters, and it kind of worked effectively. Now, granted, you can't leave a two-seamer up in the zone or it's going to get shelled. But, you know, the fact that he's even willing to play with ideas like that after kind of reading an article about a guy who he thought was similar to him just shows that he is a growth mentality kind of guy, and that he's really not afraid to fail at this level, which – there's so many guys who are held back because of that belief of, like, if I fail, I'm going to stall. But Hanafi's like, no, if I fail, I'm going to learn. And it's incredible to see this guy grow throughout the season. Like, I think he'll be back in Frederick, at least for the start of this year. But I mean, AA is right there for him.
And the last thing I'll ask you, Jack, before I let you go, you know, you talk about those three guys we just mentioned. They're all on the Orioles top 30 list right now, but there were other pitchers as well who had solid seasons in Frederick. And it was really about the pitching last year for the Keys. So is there anybody who, you know, really flew under the radar, not really a ranked prospect, not really a guy who's going to show up on any of those lists who, you know, from what you saw last season, looks to continue to move up the system?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple names. One is Dionis Almengo, a guy who came over from the Astros organization in 2018 and was with Delmarva then. He was 24 this year, but he'll get bumped up to AA. He did at the end of the season as kind of a late addition to Bowie for their playoff run. He's a guy who throws 98 to 99 from the right side and got a wipeout slider and a really nice changeup, a little bit all over the place. But if he hones it in, he could be something special, kind of a pop-up guy. Tim Naughton, same deal. 34th round pick, a guy who throws 98 miles an hour consistently and has got a great slider. He actually worked with a former Astros player on that slider this past offseason. he'll be in Frederick this year, and depending on how he does, could get a mid-season promotion. He led the organization in save last season as well. Reed Hayes is kind of a wild card, not really consistent, but can throw really hard. They've been trying to work with Matthias Dietz, who just has a ton of great arm strength, but has just struggled to command the zone. If he can figure it out, he'll slowly work his way back into this organization as a name. Scott Burke performed really well last year. It's going to be interesting to see kind of where his level is at. The organization did not think much of him coming into this season. He was kind of a fringe bullpen guy, but he worked really hard, and he figured out a way to get right-handed hitters out. And the organization took notice. Chris Holt was like, dude, you know, you are not a guy. You're on our list right now after your performance this year. He's just going to be a crafty right-hander that may not have the best stuff in the world, but is just able to get guys out. So there's a bunch of different pitchers that, you know, they're the Almangos and the Peraltas, Ofelty Peralta, another guy, Luis Perez, too, was really good for us. Those guys, the stuff, got to hone it in and be a bit more consistent. And then there are the guys who don't have the stuff, but are figuring out how to pitch well. There's kind of hits or miss with all of them. I'd probably say the top two guys that you got to know, Almango and Naughton, without a doubt.
And, you know, from all you just said right there, it kind of proves the big point of minor league baseball. You know, your win-loss record does really not mean anything compared to what the system is really doing. And despite a last-place finish, you know, you got these pitchers in the top 30. You got some guys who are buying into the new regime and getting better, and that's all the Orioles can ask. But, Jack, thanks a lot for joining us to talk some Frederick Keys. And, you know, despite not a great record in 2019, you know, the excitement should only build in 2020 with the possibility of maybe Grayson Rodriguez, maybe Adley Rutschman throwing on a Keys uniform this upcoming season. So thanks so much for coming on and informing Orioles fans about what's going on in Frederick.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Connor. And I think you're right. A couple of guys coming up from Delmarva could turn this 80-loss team into an 80-win team, and maybe some playoff baseball in Frederick this coming year.
So again, our thanks to Jack Keffer, one of the voices of the Frederick Keys, for joining us for our two-part conversation, both on yesterday's episode, talking about the hitters, the technology in the minors, and DL Hall, and then today diving in to some more arms with the Keys. And I think really the best part, or the most interesting part of that conversation, was the talk about Brendan Hanafy and how he, you know, saw that article about him, you know, and, or not about him, about Kyle Hendricks, and thinking, you know, that was kind of his story as well, and the Orioles would gladly take a guy like that at the major leagues. I mean, they love these power pitchers, these Grayson Rodriguez's, these DL Halls, these guys who are going to blow you away, but you need some Hanafys in there as well, a little bit more soft tossers, sinker ball guys, get some grounders, eat through innings, and you never know. Right now, ranked the Orioles number 18 prospect in the MLB.com top 30, maybe he makes it to the major leagues as well. So we hope you enjoyed our Frederick Keys breakdown. Of course, next up will be the Bowie Bay Sox and then the Norfolk Tides, and then we will be through our minor league breakdowns as we lead up to the start of the regular season for the Orioles, and then a couple weeks after that, all those full season teams will start up their 2020 campaigns as well. But until then, of course, we've got plenty of other content coming out, including a bunch of player previews as well, and that will include the rest of this week. So tomorrow we are actually going to look at, well, for the rest of the week, we're going to look at two new Orioles pitchers. Tomorrow we will take a look into Cole Stewart, who came over from the Twins, the right-handed pitcher that's going to compete for a spot with the Orioles, and Nash Walker, the host of the Locked On Twins podcast, will join us to talk about him. And then on Friday, we are going to look into Michael Rucker, who was actually the Orioles' second Rule 5 draft pick. Remember, we talked about their first one, Brandon Bailey, a couple weeks ago. But Rucker, another pitcher who they got in the Rule 5 draft, who has a good shot to maybe make the big league roster. And we are going to talk with Spencer Siegel, who called a lot of Rucker's starts last season in Double A with the Tennessee Smokies. So that's the rest of this week, and then we'll be talking Bowie and have plenty more guests to break down some more players next week and in the future, as well as we lead up to opening day. We're going to do some AL East previews, so we'll have the host of the four other Locked On Podcast Network AL East pods, the Blue Jays, Rays, Red Sox, and Yankees, on different episodes to look at the Orioles' main competition in 2020. So we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast. And if you did, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening right now. Leave us a rating and a review. This has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.